Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler Mergen, and today we are going to talk about something that is very important to get on the same page about, and it is the benefits of locally grown flowers. I want to talk about truly what the benefits are, but practice your elevator pitch for when people ask you, when people say, well, I can get these cheaper at the grocery store. While it's really tempting to say, fine, go for it. And sometimes for customers at a farmer's market or whatever, they are not your customer, move on. However, sometimes it's not meant to be snotty or defensive or telling you that you're not worth it. They just glance at the sticker price and they think, wow, that's expensive. I can get them cheaper elsewhere. And the response is, no, you cannot get these flowers. You can get carnations and mums and roses that are already a week old. Yes, you can get a bundle of those at the grocery store for cheaper, but you cannot get these flowers cheaper anywhere else. And why does cheap have to be part of the perks? So today's episode, we're just really going to dive in the importance of having an elevator pitch ready to go, what makes local flowers unique, why cost shouldn't necessarily be the focus, and I'm going to touch base a little bit on an additional resource I have been working on behind the scenes. So first of all, I do want to remind you that the Flower Farmer Forum Conference is happening January 25th in Sartell, Minnesota. Registration will close on January 10th, so do not wait to sign up. You can click the link in this episode notes. If you go to sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, it's right there on the homepage. But we have over 30 flower farmers coming. If you click on the link, you'll see the whole agenda, what we have planned for the day. But we had so much fun last year, and even more people are coming this year. And I just think it's really important for the industry and continuing to set that foundation. And I have big plans for how it can be hosted next year, but we'll talk about that in future episodes. But let's get this kicked off. So first of all, the importance of having an elevator pitch. If you don't know what an elevator pitch is, it's essentially you need to know what you're talking about so well. We had to practice it in nurse practitioner school. If we got into a room with a legislator and we had, you know, all of a sudden like, hey, it's my senator. Hey, it's my representative. What do I want to tell them about healthcare? What is my, you know, if you literally have 1 or 2 minutes of their time, what are you going to tell them? And basically, I want to prepare you for a locally grown flowers pitch. And that way you can help confidently explain the benefits of locally grown flowers in casual conversations. Okay. So, you know, sales pitches when you're networking, and it prepares you to advocate for local flowers when someone asks, why should I buy local? Or how is this different than what I get elsewhere? Or I can buy these cheaper somewhere else when, no, they can't buy these flowers cheaper. They can buy flowers cheaper, but they can't buy these flowers cheaper. So whatever your elevator pitch is, make sure you write it down, you practice it, you adjust it based on your audience. All right, so I have two elevator pitches that I wrote out and I'm practicing for you. And one of them is just to general public. If you are at a farmer's market booth, if someone is asking you a question out and about the community, if you are, you know, doing a STEM bar, if someone is at your U-Pick and they want to know, so why local flowers? Why are these more expensive than what I get at the grocery store? Or why are these, you know, whatever they might be. So that's one elevator pitch. And the other one is going to be what you pitch to florists. So let's start with the general public. Local flowers aren't just beautiful, they're fresher, they're more sustainable, and you support your local economy. They're harvested at peak quality. meaning they last longer in your home and event setting. When you buy local, you're also investing in a community of growers who care about the environment. We use fewer chemicals and grow unique varieties that you won't find in stores. Plus, local flowers carry the story of the season in the hands that grew them. They're a connection to your land and a connection to your labors. And yes, I said harvested, but that's okay. So those are the high points. They're fresher, they're more sustainable, they support your local economy, they're harvested at peak value. You're investing in the growers who care about the environment. You can often get unique varieties that you're not going to find the same old at the store. That's what you want to tell. That's what you want them to know. Your next one is going to be for florists. As a florist, you know that quality matters. Locally grown flowers are harvested at their peak and delivered fresh, meaning stronger stems, vibrant colors, and longer vase life. We often have the stems already stripped, making that work of removing the plastic, removing the rubber bands, all of that, they're already prepped for you. Plus, local growers offer unique varieties and customization options that you can't always get from wholesalers. Choosing local flowers means creating stunning designs while supporting sustainable practices in your community. So your main points for the florist is going to be, what do they get out of it? Why would they go through the extra work of ordering from you rather than continuing just the wholesaler that delivers them in the middle of the night when they get back to their floral shop? So you want to kind of pivot it. What are they getting from it? What is the customer getting from it? What is the florist getting from it? What is the retail customer getting from it? What is the florist getting from it? And how does that apply to them? Okay. So that's when you make your elevator pitch, those are the things you want to focus on. So what does make local flowers unique? Well, let's talk about freshness and longevity. Locally grown flowers are harvested just before the sale, ensuring peak quality. So let's have a little clarification. When comparing local snapdragons to imported snapdragons or local peonies to imported peonies, they last longer. Sometimes people get confused and they say, well, your flowers only last 5 to 7 days. The flowers that I got, the roses, leather leaf and baby's breath that I got from my husband for my anniversary, they lasted 2 weeks. What do you mean yours last longer? I'm not saying to compare my zinnias to a grocery store carnation. Those carnations are genetically bred for vase life. That's it. They are doused in chemicals to make them last a really long time. When we say that our flowers last longer, I mean my snapdragons compared to the snapdragons that are imported through a traditional florist. Now, this isn't us versus them, but it's describing it when people say, well, you know, what do you mean? My peony bouquet from you only lasted 5 or 6 days. That is amazing. If you bought a peony bouquet from a florist, they're already 3 or 4 days by the time the florist gets them. These are harvested at peak quality at peak time. And so that's what we mean. So we are comparing snapdragons to snapdragons, peonies to peonies, not zinnias to carnations. Okay. So when we say that clarification of longevity, keep that in mind. When you shop local, that flower itself has traveled less miles, less hands have touched it, and it really does reduce that carbon footprint that goes into creating that flower. Okay. So it's not being shipped all over the world. The resources that go into that, fewer transportation miles, lower emissions. Many local farmers will prioritize those practices. Now, I say this all the time. Keep in mind that sustainability is not an all or none thing. Of course, I am trying to really, really care for the environment and the land that I have, because if I don't take good care of my soil, my land, my resources, I am only hurting myself. It is my land. I will not have a business in 10 years because my soil will be trashed without reincorporating nutrients into it, et cetera. But keep in mind that sometimes it takes gradual approaches to get there. And you know, you can't all of a sudden, oh, I've decided to go 100% no till or 100% no landscape fabric or 100%, you know, in a year when it's a learning curve to learn how to grow more sustainably. And you know, that is a trendy buzzword that I sometimes get a little bit fired up about. If you listen to an episode really early on this podcast, we just shared that sometimes any industry will do it, not just agriculture, not just flower farming, but any industry will use trendy buzzwords to try to scare, especially women, especially moms, into thinking that they're doing something wrong if they're not shopping in the organic aisle. Well, maybe they can't afford that organic section, or maybe they can't afford, you know, so it's just doing your research. One of my favorite scientists that I follow, if you look up, her name is Michelle, the food babe. If you look her up, on Facebook, on Instagram. She shares a lot of really, really good facts when it comes to this and educating your consumers. So I would also just please do your research. Don't fear monger your customers. Don't guilt them into, saying that this versus us and local versus imported is evil versus good, because I do import flowers in the wintertime in the off season. I live in Minnesota and my customers do want that. And I have a year-round business. So I do supplement with wholesale. And I think that that's okay. It's just, gradually looking at what is needed. And I don't think it has to be all or none, but we can do all of our little part. I think that's okay. And I think some of you are going to disagree with me, and that's okay too. We all have our business models different ways. Like I said, I do try to gradually incorporate more and more sustainable practices, using the word sustainable as most people use it, but just trying to keep in mind that, just be careful that it doesn't turn into an us versus them conversation. And I'm going to share a little bit more of that at the very end when I talk about a new resource that I am trying to get rolled out called farmerstoflorist.com. So, unique varieties and seasonal availability. That's another perk. Local farmers grow specialty varieties not commonly available from wholesalers. So, the rare dahlias, the heirloom tulips, those unique color variations. It's just that variety that we can give, especially if we grow it in smaller batches, because their wholesaler is going to sell only the best sellers for the most part. So, a lot of times they can't get those unique colors anywhere else. And then, last but not least, probably most importantly, certainly not least, is supporting the local economy. So every purchase supports small scale farmers, their families, the local community. Every year around this time of year, people share this saying that I absolutely love. Pay attention to the names on the back of your kids' jersey. Pay attention to the names on the banners at fundraisers. Pay attention to those things. You are not seeing the big box stores on those shirts. You are not seeing the big box stores supporting the actual dreams of your kids, of your community, giving back to those things that are so important, but you will see the names of small businesses. So supporting the local economy helps your dollars stay local. Now, I just listed all the reasons of buying local flowers by buying from flower farmers. Notice I did not say that cost is the main focus. Now, local flowers do not need to be cheap. They're worth more because of the care, quality, and story behind them. This is something that, I teach it in my peddling perishable products class, but when we talk about, what is the value, you're going to find that price point. You're going to find that point where customers aren't going to pay any more than this dollar, this sweet spot. But if you are the cheapest, people are going to leave you for the next cheapest. If people say, "Oh, I buy bouquets from her because they're only $10," pretty soon someone's going to come up and, or, "I buy bouquets from her because they're only $15." Well, hers are 10, and then they go to the $10 person. You cannot do it that way. Maybe if you don't look at your labor, if you don't value your time whatsoever, but when you look at, even if you're starting everything from seeds and you're not buying those plugs, those hours and hours and hours that you put into this, the responsibilities, the things that you miss, it's just as you try to scale up, your problems are going to scale up, your expenses are going to scale up. I'm not here, this isn't going to be a lecture on pricing, but it'll weed itself out. People get so worried. They're like, "What do I do? What do I do? This other flower farmer came and they're undercutting me and whatever." And I'm like, they're not going to last. They're not going to sustain. I mean, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I have probably 20 flower farmers within 20 miles of me, and I am one of the most expensive, and I still sell out of every single stem that I grow. And it's not even that I'm expensive. If you bought my flowers versus a florist, but the flowers that I grow, I have focused on those premium flowers. If my customers say, "Wow, your prices have really gone up," I say, "No, my flowers have changed. I don't grow zinnias, amaranth, basil, sunflowers. Now I grow peonies, ranunculus, lisianthus, fancy tulips, like dahlias. I grow premium flowers, and the price of those is different than the price of these because I stand out by offering those unique varieties." Now, the next one is that the florists really do value local. They will pay more of a premium for local flowers because of their quality and uniqueness. There are two florists that I sell a lot to here in central Minnesota, and they know that the quality of my lisianthus versus the quality that they're going to get from the wholesaler are night and day difference. They know that every single stem they get from me is going to be usable. they know I can send them a quick picture of what the peonies look like today or what the colors are going to be. Or, they know that, this is going to be the day. They can message me, say, okay, when's the event? Do you want me to open them up a little bit? What's this going to look like? They enjoy buying from me compared to when they do buy from a wholesaler, they arrive dry packed. They got to take all the plastic off, take all the rubber bands off, strip all the stems, rehydrate them. It's just a lot of extra work. They get them from me in a bucket of water ready to go with the stems already stripped. So they have saved probably 2 or 3 hours just in prep work right there. So they've saved that amount of time in labor already if my price is a little bit more. My Lysianthus, I've already plucked off that initial bud, and now it's, the rest of them are opening the 2 or 3 blooms that are opening. They know versus if they get some from the wholesaler, it might be a bunch of closed buds and then that initial bottom one is open and that's what they have to work with. Whereas for me, one stem of Lysianthus could have 4 to 5 open buds. Now there's all of their boutonnieres for the wedding in 2 stems versus they would have to use 10 of them from the wholesaler. Maybe they don't know until they get them. So it really is about just identifying those pain points, those problems of why what stops people from buying locals. So I do want you to just to reframe the conversation. So buying local flowers is about quality. It's about sustainability. It's about supporting a community. It's about getting those unique varieties and doing something a little bit different and enjoying something a little more unique, not just saving a few dollars. So the last thing that I'm going to just warmly introduce and start touching on is something that I have been working on behind the scenes for over a year, and I'm finally ready to roll it out next spring. It's called farmerstoflorist.com. You can click the link in the episode notes. Just start looking around the site, get a little bit more information out of it. But it's going to be my goal is that it is an educational resource for flower farmers, networking opportunities for florists who value local premium blooms. And it's just a mission to foster collaboration and really elevate the locally grown flower industry. There will be more to come on this. I'm presenting on it at Flower Farmer Forum Conference. Everyone who attends conference is going to get to sign up at this for like a very, very, very fraction of the initial price, just to, kind of as that thank you for them for coming to the conference. And I really think that this is going to be not apply to every single flower farmer out there because maybe there isn't a market for events in your area. But if you live in an area that is a hub for local weddings, local events, whatever, and you grow those premium flowers, or you're willing to grow those flowers that florists want, and then florists can find other local flower farmers. They can, if you're eloping, I'm thinking elopement photographers, those resources can really just hone in on this. And I'm just excited for more to come. So you can look more down there, but I'll be presenting on it at Flower Farmer Forum Conference, and those attendees will get the first chance to sign up. And then we will be capping the number of people that we allow on it the first year, just so that we can work out the kinks before we really roll it out. So I'm really excited for that. But I think it's really important that we all get on the same page about why local flowers are great, be able to advocate for ourselves, advocate for our industry that we are all working so hard to be in. So local flowers offer unmatched quality, sustainability, community impact. Practice your elevator pitch, please, 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 and be ready to share why local flowers matter. Reminder, Flower Farmer Forum Conference registration closes January 10th. Do not miss your chance to connect with other flower farmers and learn more about growing and selling your local blooms. So until next time, bloom and grow. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.